Welcome to another inspirational message from Atmosphere Church. For more content like this, visit atmospherechurch.com. I'm excited for today's message because it's been something that has been resonating with me in the past year and even this the beginning of this year. And I believe that God is doing something new in all of us. But in order for us to be able to conquer our destiny, as we've been speaking about, in order to conquer our destiny, I want you to understand and believe with all of your heart, contrary to what the system of this world teaches, your life, the achievements of life, is not independence. It's to be part of the kingdom. Let me say that again. The achievements of life is not to be independent, but to be part of the kingdom. Okay? And I want us to understand this because a lot of us want to conquer our destiny. And sometimes conquering our destiny means that I've been successful on my own. But I want you to understand that godly destiny, godly success, is not by yourself. Your destiny is intertwined and weaved with other people's destinies. So if I have a success in my life, it's because someone helped me get there. And also, I help someone else get to their destiny. Amen? So I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell them, you need me. Yeah, tell them like you believe it. Bruh, you need me. Sister, you need me. Girl, you need me. Okay, and also tell them, I need you. Okay. I need you. Awesome. Today's message is called Bridges, because we are called in our destiny. If we are going to go into a new level in our life, if we're entering a new dimension to our life, more than often, you will see that God uses people as bridges so that you can get to where they are. Okay? So we are talking about bridges today. So I'm excited about this. So remember, when the Spirit, just as we were praying today in the intro prayer, we were saying that the Holy Spirit, when He enters into us, when we receive Jesus and the Spirit of God enters into us, then He makes us cry out, Abba, Father. Okay? This is a crazy revelation. And it's so deep, and there's so many topics to talk about just on fatherhood or the fatherhood of God. But what I want to focus on is this. If I am calling God Father and you are calling God Father, what does that mean? What is the relationship between you and I? We are siblings. We're family. Let me explain this to you, that in the Old Testament, the people of Israel were God's chosen people. In the New Testament, we're God's chosen family. Okay? I want you to understand that you and I, in the blood of Christ, we are now siblings. Because all of us cry out, Abba, Father. So when I say Father and you say Father as well, then that means that you and I, we're family and we must treat each other like family. Okay? And what does that mean? How do we act within a family? Well, most families, I would say, when we have a dispute or an argument, I believe that a lot of us just get over it the next day and we're all lovey-dovey again, right? Yes, hopefully most families are like that. Families must love each other unconditionally. Parents, how they love their children and how children should love their parents. This family dynamic, we need to understand, is the nature of the church. We are God's chosen family and we must treat each other like family. So what we need to do in church is that we must create bridges between each other. Okay? We'll get into this. If we can turn to the book of Romans chapter 12 verse 9 and we'll get this started. Okay, Romans chapter 12, verse 9. So the question would be, so how do we form bridges? Or how can I perceive the brother and sister in church to be my family, to really love them like family? Look, so this is what the Apostle Paul says in the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 9, if the media team has it. Okay, it says this, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another. Honor one another above yourself. Okay, here's the thing. The Apostle Paul is saying this. So we're all a family, right? We all should treat each other like a family. So the way to do that is, number one, we need to love each other with what? Fake love. I gotta smile at you because just because you're at church or because my mentor's looking at me, so I have to smile at you? No, it's not saying love them with hypocritical love. It says love them. What does it say in verse 9? With sincere, honest, genuine love. I need to actually love you. Okay? And I believe that this is hard, but the Apostle Paul explains to us a strategy. This is how you can love people that are hard and difficult to love. How do you love people honestly, genuinely? Number one, he says, okay, don't be fake about it. Of course, hate evil. When a brother or sister does something that is evil, do you have to smile and say, oh yeah, that's wonderful that you're doing that. Oh, it's awesome that you're sinning. I love you. It says, hate what is evil, but look what it says. What's the next part? Cling to what is good. Okay, this is the strategy. That for me to love you, I need to continue, of course, hating what is evil about you, praying to the Lord, interceding that God delivers you from that, but at the same time, cling. You know what the word cling means? Like, hold on and don't let go. Hold on to the goodness of every person. Because I tell you, every person has something good in them. And you have to believe that. And sometimes it's hard to see. But that's why the Apostle Paul continues in verse 10 and says, how do we see what is good in a person? Well, be devoted to one another in love. Man, it requires devotion. I need to have a covenant relationship with you. Meaning I need to constantly, actively look for what is good in you. You might offend me, but I have to look for what is good about you and cling on to that. And the next thing is honor one another above yourselves. That means when I look at you, I need to believe that I can honor you as higher than myself. That you are important. A lot of us just value ourselves. We value our own time. We value our own money. But we need to honor someone else to be valuable. That means to esteem someone. That means to put them up on a pedestal and honor them and devote your life to them. But the only way that we're going to do that is by clinging to what is good. And how? And is that easy? No. That is a difficult thing to do. But I want to tell you this, that what we're preaching about today is not just about church, but it's also a principle that can make you successful even in your secular life. I'm talking about at your workplace. How do you love your boss? How do you love that sinner in the secular world? Well, hate what is evil, yes, but cling on to what is good about them. There is something good about that manager. Well, for one, he pays you. That's one thing, good thing that I can cling on, right? Or he gives you work. He gives you hours, you know? So cling on to something that is good about someone. And I want you to do that even at church. Cling on to something good about someone at church, okay? If you struggle to receive from them, try and see what's good about them. Well, you know what? They have a kind heart. You know, I know that they might be offensive, but they have a kind heart. And you cling on to that. Cling to what is good. Amen. Do we believe that? Okay, well, we need to have our eyes, the eyesight of God, to be able to perceive the goodness in people, because God perceives the goodness in us. Okay, so look at this. So one thing that we need to do in life, and I tell you, like I was saying, this is a principle for us to be successful in life. And even if you look at my own life, you know, I might not be the most successful person, but I believe I'm on my way to be successful. Sorry if that sounds prideful, but I'm on my way to be successful, and so are you. Amen? You are on your way to be successful. But the way that we're going to be able to do that is through the principles that the Bible teaches. I want you to understand this. Once, I'm not going to expose who it is, but you know who you are. You might be watching online. I don't know. But once, you know, I said the following thing, and they didn't really like it. They didn't agree with it. And you know what? Sometimes the truth hurts so much. But you know, the truth is confronting. The truth is confronting. And I want you to receive this with all your heart and with an open mind. And I'm going to explain it, okay? This generation We need to learn how to build bridges and not burn them. Okay? Especially this generation. Because it's easy to burn bridges. It's as easy as just blocking someone on Instagram. Right? So what I have to say to you is this. Don't burn the bridges that you might have to walk through again one day. I need to hear an amen to that. Okay? I'm telling you, not everyone will agree with this because we've been taught the opposite. Someone messes with you, cut them off from your life. You know? Someone does something bad to you, you know what? Forget them. You know? You're better than them. You know? And we each, you know, your best friend, that's what they'll tell you. Well, they let you go from that job. You know what? That place was garbage anyways, you know? And it, yeah, and that's how your best friends talk to you. But I want to tell you this, that this generation needs to understand that we need to build bridges in this life. And here's the thing, so many people, they can't even use their old workplace as a reference because they destroyed their past with them. You're looking for work and you can't use them as reference because we burned those bridges. I want to tell you that the way that you're going to be successful in this life is through alliances. It's through networking. It's by knowing people. And you know, it's not really about talents and skills. Let me say that again. It's not really about talents and skills because there's so many talented and skilled people. It's really about who you know. It's really about if you know someone that can make things happen. Someone that has connections. Okay? Someone say connections with me. Okay, you need to be able to build bridges with people. Man, you don't know that old friend that you used to have, you know, that we just cut off and burned that bridge. Man, you won't know that when the next time you're looking for a job, that person is the guy interviewing you. You just never know. You never know. So why am I going to burn bridges? Why am I going to just disconnect myself from others? I have been called to connect with people. Amen. I've been called to connect with people, and God has called us to connect with people because He believes and He knows that through alliances, man, they can launch you to your next level. And I believe that to be true. Even in my life, there are things that I want to share with you guys, even small testimonies or testimonies about my own life of how divine connections have allowed me to move forward in my life. Okay, so I wanna tell you this. Your destiny is not just for your benefit. Your destiny will serve others as well. And in turn, someone else's destiny will serve you. And I believe that to be true. There are people with powerful destinies in this house. And I believe you guys know who you are because the Lord has prophesied over your life and you know within your heart that you have a powerful destiny in you. But can I tell you something? You're not gonna make it by yourself. God on purpose has allowed you to be connected with other people's destinies. Like we were saying, you need me and I need you. Okay, let's turn to Proverbs 13:20. This is a principle. Okay, Proverbs 13:20 says the following. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Okay, let me tell you this, I get it. I used to be in high school at one point in my life. And in high school, it seemed cool to be with fools. To be with the fools is the popular thing. Man, I want to be with the person who's failing. Yeah. Now it sounds so dumb, but I mean, that's how it was back in the day. Like, yeah, I'm failing. Yeah, man. I got an F on my math. You know? That sounds cool while we're in it. But I want to tell you this, that the Bible is saying, be careful. If you hang around with fools, if that's your focus, you yourself will become a fool. But instead, start hanging out with the wise people. I know that they might look like nerds today, but those nerds are going to be driving Lamborghinis in the future and will hook you up. Please receive that, whoever's in high school right now. Oh, man. I know, yeah, some for some of us too. Oh, man. But I'm telling you, walk with the wise and become wise. But, you know, I was listening to this prophet online And I was just randomly like looking through YouTube videos and just trying to see like prophetic words of this year. And there was this prophet, and I believe that the Lord was speaking to me directly, because I felt like, you know, like when you just feel like a shining light just beaming into your heart. And I just felt that as this prophet was speaking. And he said this. He said, be careful with who you are with in this next season, because it will be critical to your spiritual growth. And I felt like God was speaking to me directly. Does that mean that I need to push people away and not be able to hang out with people who may not be at the same spiritual level as me? No, that's not what I'm saying. There's a difference here. Jesus, he would hang around with the sinners, but he was performing a ministry called evangelism. So he hung around with sinners and prostitutes, but they weren't his alliances. Okay? He was performing evangelism, but they weren't his alliance. His alliance was different. His alliance was a relationship with the Lord and everyone the Lord brought onto his life. Okay? So that is the important thing. So I felt like that prophet was speaking to me, and I believe God is speaking to you right now. Watch out of who you are with in this next season. That means that there are certain friends that you might have to let go of and not be so close to them, because they are adding doubt to you. They're adding confusion, questions to you. They are making you fall into sin. If there are people like that, there perhaps it is time for you to make new alliances. Okay? I believe someone needs that word. I know I needed it. Okay? So, you know, hang around with people that bring out the best in you, not the worst. And let me tell you this, that there are times when there are friends that celebrate the worst in you. Right? They celebrate the worst in you. You get angry or you swear and they're like, awesome. And they celebrate the worst in you instead of celebrating when you do something good. Yeah. Find yourself friends who help you to be a better person. Amen. Okay. All right. We're getting somewhere. Okay. So why should we pray for divine connections? Well, I want to give these four principles of why divine connections are important. Someone say divine connections. Okay. This is a season where you will have divine connections. Okay. Divine connections. I know it's only 2019. Okay, but believe it or not, the Lord has already spoken to me about 2020, and it's crazy. While I was praying to the Lord, give me words for 2019, the Lord was leading me to 2020, and I want to let this prophetic word out, and I know, because I know that there will be other prophets that will speak the same thing. And I want to let this out with boldness. The Lord was telling me this, that the year 2020 is the year that the church receives the perfect vision. The year of the perfect vision, where the people of God will receive the eyesight of the Lord. Just like in humanity, the best to receive perfect, to have perfect vision, you have 20/20 eyesight. And the Lord was telling me in 2020, the church will have that perfect vision, the perfect eyesight. But for us to have that perfect vision, we need to also recognize who should be with us when we walk that vision. And I believe right now, this moment right now, as we are talking about conquering our destiny, you need to be worried about who's in your surroundings. Because there are some people that can help you reach your destiny or stop it and pause it. Okay? So we need to be careful about this. Okay, so there are four things about divine connections I want to tell you. Number one is this, that divine connections are never forced. Let me say that again. Divine connections are never forced. That means that you're not going to have to force yourself into these relationships. You won't have to be a fake you for these relationships. You're going to be genuinely yourself, and those connections will accept you as you are and help you to reach your next level, okay? So it doesn't mean that I have to be a fake person. And honestly, you don't force yourself or the timing of it. You know, there are some people who outside of God's timing, they take an opportunity that wasn't for them yet. But because they just jump ahead of themselves, they mess up their destiny. They mess up the purpose that God has for their life. So I want to tell you this. It's all in God's timing. God's timing is super important. Because if you move prematurely, you will mess up. Okay? Divine connections are not emotionally led either. Okay? Sometimes our heart lies to us. And I want to tell you that. You know, that sometimes our heart lies to us. Sometimes we believe that we are, you know, with the right people and we feel so comfortable around them. But you know what? Comfort isn't always a sign that you're in the right place. Sometimes discomfort is a sign that you're in the right place that you need to be. Sometimes discomfort is what's needed for you to grow. Okay? So it's not emotionally led. So number one, divine connections are never forced. They are God-given. That's why they're called divine connections. They are God-given connections. Okay? The next thing is this. Divine connections should advance your life, not regress it. Okay? How do I know if I'm in a divine connection, if this is a godly relationship that I have, or if this is a godly workplace that I'm in, that you are advancing? That's the number one sign that you should see. Divine connections advance you, not regress you, not doesn't put you backward in the status of your life. It pushes you forward, okay? So divine connections should excel you and advance your life, okay? Number three is this. Divine connections always carries an assignment. When you are connected with someone, there is an assignment to be met. The fact that you have met each other in this house is because there's a particular assignment that we each need to accomplish together. Amen? There's something that you and I need of each other in order to accomplish a particular assignment that God has set out in this universe, in our destinies. Okay? Now, I want you to understand this, that divine connections, because they're always purpose-driven and they have an assignment with them, you got to recognize that divine connections aren't just chilling, okay? It's not just about chilling. It's about having a purpose there. There's a purpose, a reason for why you guys hang out. So here's the thing. Just like there are divine connections, there's also a thing called divine disconnections, where God disconnects you from certain relationships that weren't helping you advance, okay? There are some people that their habits or their words or the way they act or the patterns of their life just don't really go to where you are going. So what you need to do is accept the divine disconnection of the Lord and allow yourself to be separated from them. Because that's the only way that you will advance. It hurts when we experience divine disconnections, but it is necessary. So whatever misaligns you in your prophetic call, it is not worth it to just hold on to it. No, you need to allow the divine disconnections to happen, okay? Amen. All right. And I want to also say this. There's also such a thing called divine reconnections, okay? So we said divine connections, divine disconnections, and there's also such a thing called divine reconnections. These are the, oh man, it's such a small world type of moments. You know, you go to a workplace and you see a friend from like high school and you're like, whoa, it's such a small world. That is the Lord divinely reconnecting you with people. Yeah, divinely. There's a purpose. There's a reason. God, you are for some reason reconnecting me with people I thought like were gone in my life. Divine reconnections happen. You know, Yeah, I have testimonies of that. Yeah, like one that pops into my mind is actually when I preached at a conference once, and at that time I remember Walter was there in the crowd, and yeah, and oddly enough, I was speaking about mentorship in that conference, and you know we would have never thought that we would reconnect ever again, you know, but I believe that was a divine appointment. Okay. It was a divine appointment. Somehow, he probably didn't even want to come to that conference. I don't know. Someone invited him. But somehow, he came to that conference. Somehow, he heard the preaching. And that was it. And after a few years later, I believe it was a Christian that invited you to our church, one of our services. And man, it was a divine reconnection. Like, there was a divine appointment. And then there was years that we didn't know each other or really had a relationship. And all of a sudden, we were reconnected. And now he's one of my disciples. He's an awesome disciple now. And I believe that his destiny and my destiny have connected because there's a purpose there. Amen? That's not the only reconnection that happened there. I remember that there was a certain lady called Daniela leading worship on that conference. And there was a divine reconnection there years later. Whoa. Oh, man. That's called a divine appointment. You know, really, the next time you go to a conference, don't just say it's just a conference. No, I'm going for a divine appointment. Who knows? You might divinely meet the girl of your life at that conference. Who knows? Yeah. But, yeah. Oh, man. They're divine appointments. You know, I know that there are some pastors that are very careful to speak about that. No, we're supposed to be so spiritual when we go to conferences. Come on. How else are our youth going to meet other people, you know? How are they going to get reconnected, you know? Divine appointments. Yeah, and not just that, not just like finding girlfriends or your future husband or future wife, but at the same time, it's a divine appointment at that conference. Perhaps you can be connected to someone who has access to contracts that you need for your business. I don't know. Or perhaps a prophet comes that day and there's a divine appointment that God has a specific word for you that will be released just in that conference. So whenever you go to a seminar or a conference or even a service, it's not just a service. It's a day of divine appointments. I believe God has a word for you today. A divine appointment for you today. Maybe you didn't want to come to church today. Maybe you were dragging your feet to come to church today. But you needed this word. You needed someone to tell you it is time for you to have a divine appointment. Amen. Wow. Yeah, so divine connections, okay. The next thing is this. Divine connections, as we've been saying, are mutually beneficial. Now I want to take a pause at this, okay. Divine connections are mutually beneficial. Because sometimes we act like leeches. You only text me when you need something. Preacher. Yeah. Yeah. You know, divine connections is not just a one-way thing that I'm connected to you because you're so successful and so only I'm going to be receiving. You know, that's not what it is, you know. Or you know, someone starts working somewhere, gets a 30% discount. Okay. Now it's time to have a divine connection here because I like me my discounts. So I'm going to have divine connections. That's not divine connection. That's just a one-way relationship. Divine connection is mutually beneficial. That they are investing in you, but you are also investing back into them. Like I said, our destinies are not just one way. You're not in my life just for me to be successful. You know, we're in each other's lives to make each other prosper. Amen? So it's a mutually beneficial relationship, not divine leeching, divine connections. Someone got to say amen. Amen. Awesome. Okay. Yeah, it's all about divine connections. Yeah. I want to give examples of that. For example, the house that I have right now, I want to tell you that realistically, that house should not be mine. Because, you know, my wife and I, especially with these brand new rules that we're establishing in Toronto, man, it's so difficult to get a mortgage, and especially for my wife and I. And so it was super hard. So we found this house and we're like, God, like we really want this place. It's in the area that we've been dreaming of, in a place that we've been dreaming of. And God, I just pray you open the doors. And in that moment, as we were looking for different, different mortgage deals or different mortgage brokers, I even remember our real estate agent, he was like, you know what, we're going to have to give you a super, you know, a high rate, you know, it's just not possible, you know, with what you guys, the status where you guys are right now. But the thing is this, I won't say any names because I don't want TD to be, you know, spying or anything like that. But anyway, someone at TD that I know works there and they work specifically in the mortgage area. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to bring this case because there's a divine connection there. Okay, so we brought our case there. And not only does this lady work in mortgages, but also she knows someone in the senior level that approves mortgages. And not just approves mortgages, but gave us an awesome rate. So amazing that our real estate agent was saying, I can't believe it. Like, how did this happen? I know how it happened. Because it was a divine connection. I wouldn't have access to that unless God divinely connected me with someone. Amen? A lot of us say, no, I'm going to make it on my own. Maybe you can make it on your own, but you're going to have to hustle. You're going to have to break your back. You're going to have to go through many frustrations when someone can hook you up like that. When there's a divine connection, when you're struggling to make contracts, but just meeting someone can give you access and doors to many more contracts. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but you need to form divine connections and pray to the Lord. God, give me divine connections because I need them in my life. You know, another example, you might not think that it's big, but it's big for us. You know, another testimony is this. I thank God for Sebastian's family, specifically Yuli and Paola. We were looking for a daycare to put our son, and when we were looking for it, there was this place that we really liked, like really, really liked. And we called the place up and we were like, you know, we want to put in our son. He's 18 months now and we want to start him up. And they rejected us. They said, sorry, there's a huge wait list. And they were like, honestly, there's nothing for 2019. There's a huge wait list. There's no room. And so in that moment, I'm like, okay, let me pull out the who I know card. So in that moment, no, for real, I believe in divine connections. You know people for a reason. So anyways, I mentioned, I'm like, oh man, that sucks. Because, you know, it would have been awesome for my son to grow up with Yuli's son and Paola's sons. And they're like, oh, you know Yuli and Paola? I'm like, yeah. And then she's like, okay, let me figure something out. I don't know if there is something. So she left it like that. Remember, there was a huge wait list. Okay? So then after a few days later, she then calls us up and says, you know what? Actually, there is an opportunity. If you want to take it, you can take it. So, you know, divine connections brings you from the bottom of the wait list to the top. Amen? That's how divine connections happen. Whew. We need divine connections. You need to know people. You need to have bridges with people. Imagine if I would have ruined my relationship with many people. Man, I would be in a bad shape right now. Not only that, I just remember another small testimonies. I don't know, like, it's basically, my life is not that I'm lucky. It's really that God has blessed it. That's what it is. I don't believe in luck. It's about God blessing you. And God blesses all of you here to form bridges. Amen. So I remember going to when Cheesecake Factory just opened. Man, at the time, it was full. I don't know if you remember. There was lineups like till halfway through the mall. There was huge lineups. Anyway, so at that time, you know, I was with my son, who was even more of a baby then, an infant, sorry. And yeah, and so we were waiting in the line, and they're like, okay, it's going to be like a couple of hours to wait. And we're like, okay. In that moment, what happened next is that suddenly someone is walking, someone that works there. I won't say any names, but anyway, someone that works there was walking, and all of a sudden they saw me, and they're like, hey, Pastor John and Jarlene? I'm like, yes? Who's and they're like, you guys want to eat here? And we're like, yeah, like we're waiting. You know, they told us a couple of hours. and then she's like, okay, don't worry about it. Let me see what I can do. All of a sudden, she comes back and she's like, okay, I have a table for you guys. And she said, in that moment, I feel like VIP. I'm like, dang. You know, and I know it's the Cheesecake Factory, but man, you feel honored in that moment. But all of that was possible because of divine connection. And this person doesn't go to church anymore. Okay? This person doesn't go to church anymore. But she remembered how we served them. Imagine if I would have burned that bridge. I wouldn't have had that hookup. Imagine I burned that bridge with the person at TD Bank. I wouldn't have that hookup. Imagine if I burned bridges with Sebastian's family. I wouldn't have access. And I have so many more testimonies. It's crazy. You'll be amazed. And you'll just say, Pastor, honestly, you've just been hooked up your entire life. Yeah, it's true. That's why I'm telling you right now how important making bridges are. My entire life is a result of having divine connections with people. You know, and it's not just because we're abusing people or trying to see what I can get out of you. No, I believe that the Lord has given us one purpose, to serve people, and God will take care of the rest. He says, seek the kingdom, and all things shall be added on to you. Why? Because as I'm seeking the kingdom, God connects other people to the kingdom, and those people are bringing their own resources as I'm bringing my resources. So if I'm part of the family, we all benefit together. That's how the real kingdom should be. Amen. Yeah. That's how the kingdom should be. All of us together, that's what I would love to hear. More testimonies in this church of people saying, you know what, this brother in Christ, you know, they were the reason why my business grew and expanded. Or it's because, you know, they have a dream and I have a dream and we just connected and we made it happen. These are divine connections that we got to appreciate, all of them, every single one of them. Okay, so I want to give you proof of that, because maybe you're saying, Pastor, you're just becoming, you know, sensationalist in this moment and you don't have biblical examples. Well, I have biblical examples for you. Okay, remember Saul. Saul, when he was going to Damascus, remember, he wasn't looking for any purpose. He wasn't looking for anything. He was persecuting Christians in that time. So he didn't want anything to do with Jesus. But on his way, he had a divine appointment. Not an appointment he made, an appointment that God made. And so on his way to Damascus, Jesus appeared to him, and then Saul, the Bible says, he fell off his back, onto his back, and he became blind because of the bright light that came before him. And in that moment, Saul had no idea what his life was about to experience or what his life was about to be. In that moment, he just received an encounter with the Lord, a divine appointment. But guess what happens next? Did Saul have to worry about the next step? The Bible said that while that experience was happening, the Lord was already speaking to somebody else on the side. He was preparing another divine connection. Saul was having a divine appointment while God was ready, setting up the destiny for a divine connection to happen. And the Bible says that this man, Barnabas, what he did is that God spoke to him. And when God spoke to him, he found Saul. And when he found Saul, he gave him his eyesight. And I believe that Barnabas didn't just do that. He also taught him the word. He connected him to the church. Not only that, but how else do you think that the Apostle Paul came to meet the apostles? Through this man that was connected. It was a divine connection where he went from being a new believer to quickly accelerating to being an apostle. Through how? Divine connections. Through just being obedient to the Lord. And I believe it's going to be the same thing. You are going to go from being anonymous to then being divinely connected to people. So you can accelerate and be a man who you didn't even dream you were going to be. Man, some people say, you know, we hear it all the time that out of nowhere, you know, someone gave me a shout out on Instagram and I instantly became, you know, famous. I became insta-famous instantly. You know, or someone gave me a shout out. You know, it was just one person that wrote the foreword to my book and all of a sudden I made millions of book sales. Why? Divine connection. That's all it took. It wasn't really hard work. It was really that we were just obedient to be in the right place at the right time, being obedient to the Lord, and He divinely connected you to your destiny. Amen. Are we understanding this? So that was Saul. And not only Saul, but remember Joseph. Joseph is another example. Joseph, in a time, he was sent to jail. And when he went into jail, who would think that divine connections happen in jail? You know, would you think that? That divine connections happen in a prison? But guess what? So Joseph went to jail, and in that moment, he was obedient to the Lord, and he ministered to two people. Why do I say minister? Because he interpreted dreams. Is that not a prophetic ministry? Yeah. So he decided to serve two people. He ministered to two people. And one of them happened to be a cupbearer. Now, a lot of us might be burning bridges in jail and just saying, you know what? I don't want to talk to anyone. I'm just doing my time and that's it. But no, he made divine connections. He spoke and prophesied to this cupbearer. And this cupbearer happened to be the cupbearer of the Pharaoh. Years later, the cupbearer remembered about Joseph. And he said, hold up. I remember a man called Joseph that interpreted dreams. Remember, he remembered how he served him. So in that moment, he said, Pharaoh, go and seek this man, Joseph. So I want you to understand that a man from jail, it was a divine connection that God was able to accelerate Joseph from being a prisoner to being second in command in Egypt through a divine connection at jail. While so many of us are so stressed because maybe we're feeling right now that we're under an oppression. But you know what? Maybe we're going through what we're going through because we have to in order to meet our divine connection that God wants us to have in that moment. Who knows? God wants you to experience what you're experiencing so you can be in the right place at the right time to be able to speak to someone in need. Who knows? That's what I'm saying. Don't underestimate. Joseph didn't underestimate the prisoners and just look down on them and has been condescending. No, you... The least person that you would think can do be a divine connection or hook you up in life, man, they're the people who will accelerate you. Yes, those people, even in the youth group that you might be saying, you know what, I don't think they're ever going to be anybody in life. That person, watch out. That could be the person that can hook you up with amazing contracts or can be the person that releases your destiny. Who knows? That could be the next apostle and you are bashing them. You never know. Don't burn bridges. Make bridges. Amen. I hope I'm getting to someone. I hope I'm getting to someone who right now they've just been crossing people off their contact list and just saying, you know what, forget this person, forget that person, forget this. I'm never going to talk to this person, whatever. I'm telling you right now, that's not the best strategy to advance in life, okay? I know it hurts. I know it might be hurting what I'm saying right now, but it's important, okay? Don't underestimate the people in your community, okay? And I'm going to give this last example. How many of us are learning so far? Yeah? Awesome. There's an importance to this. Okay, so John chapter 4, verse 1. This will be the last verse that I speak upon and the last thing that I'm going to be saying. Okay? But in the book of John chapter 4, verse 1. Remember, John wrote this. And let's look at what he says. Okay? Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Dang, there was beef. Okay? All right. Although, in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. Dang. Okay, next. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. So notice this. He was leaving Judea to go to Galilee. And look what John wrote. Okay? He says, now he had to go through Samaria. We'll leave it right there. Okay? John says he had to go through Samaria. It's easy to miss this verse, but I don't want you to miss it. Look at this. The Jews had multiple ways to go to Galilee. They didn't have to go through Samaria. I want you to understand that. They didn't have to, nor did they want to go through Samaria. Samaria is like how right now perhaps Israel perceives Palestine. They don't want to go through it. In the same way, the Jews in those times, they didn't want to go through Samaria. It was a place that they perhaps despised or they didn't want to intermingle with the community there or the society there. So why did John say, but he had to go through Samaria? That's weird. He didn't have to. He could have taken another route to Galilee. Maybe shorter routes, better routes. But he had to go through there? I want to tell you that he had to. John wrote that. John emphasized that Jesus had to go there because there was a divine appointment for him there. And if we read further, this is what happens. If Jesus didn't go there, let me tell you, he wouldn't have met a woman at a well there. And this is important because Jesus, he could have decided to go a different route. He could have decided, you know what, let me take the shortcut into Galilee. Let me go a different way. But he knew, he was so aligned to the destiny that and his purpose and his call that he was obedient to the Holy Spirit to know I had to go through Samaria. There's someone waiting for me there. And when he got there, he met a woman at the well. And this woman, it wasn't just any woman. It was a divine connection. And why do I say that? Because this lady, she encountered Jesus, the living God, first of all. Right there, that's a divine explosion, the divine appointment there. Okay? So she had a divine, amazing encounter right there with the living God. And the Bible says that this lady was so impacted with that divine appointment that she then went throughout the town and started testifying. And when she testified, the Bible says that many came to Jesus. And when many came to Jesus, the Bible says that when people got to see Jesus for themselves and have their own divine encounters, the Bible says that many in Samaria were saved. Many. Because of one divine connection. I really want this to sink into you. If Jesus had not gone to Samaria to meet that one woman, many would have been lost in Samaria. But Jesus understood that the power and the importance of just one divine connection in winning souls. And I tell you right now, we need to be praying for divine appointments. When we're going to evangelize out there, it's not just I'm going to evangelize to someone random. No, God, I'm evangelizing to people that I will have divine appointments with. There are people out there that are praying for you right now, praying for someone like you to appear in their life. What would happen if you become the answer to their prayers and you appear before them and they say, I've been praying about this. That's a divine appointment. And don't underestimate just one soul, because one soul can revolutionize an entire city. That next person, man, it's just like that, like Roberto, the new soul. Man, that was a divine connection because he was wanting something more. People had invited him to church before, but he's like the moment that there was that divine appointment with Emmanuel and Brenda, he felt something new. Not only that, but now that he's going to get baptized, he's already winning another soul. That's crazy. And he's bringing, yeah, how many people? Yeah, you were telling me the other day, he's bringing people. Wow. One divine connection. Just one. That's crazy. The next person that you evangelize to, the next person that you're divinely connected to, they could be the next Benny Hinn. And you just don't know it. Or, let me phrase this properly. We're one soul away from setting a chain reaction to our revival. It's just one divine connection that the Lord needs. That one divine connection that just explodes the church. And that's how it happens. I want to tell you, there's such an importance to divine connections. If there's anything that I want you to remember today, maybe you haven't been focusing right now and you're just tuning in, I want you to realize this. God has called us to build bridges for a purpose. Because you will need it one day. You know, I tell you that it's unfortunate just how many people, how many Christians burn bridges. Their last job, they just leave so badly and wrongly that they can't even use them as references anymore. And if that's you, you know, I pray that you today recognize that what you have done is wrong. And recognize and ask for forgiveness to the Lord. I don't want to, you know, break relationships anymore. You know, just another divine reconnection. I remember, as soon as I started my pastoral Instagram page, if you haven't added me, please add me. There was someone who, you know, randomly added me. I don't know why, like they were looking at a certain hashtag or something like that. But they added me. It's someone that I didn't know from a long time, from high school. And there was a divine reconnection there because they saw, I posted I uploaded, and it wasn't even one of my like spiritual quotes or anything like that that, you know, got me talking to them. It was really just an Instagram story I posted of my son dancing to the Wiggles. And that did more to evangelize to that person than my spiritual quotes, which is crazy. Anyway, so I posted that story of my son dancing to the Wiggles, and they reached out to me and they're like, "Hey, do you remember me?" And I'm like, "Not really." So I kind of like had to look at their profile and stuff and try to get to know who they were. And I'm like, "Yeah, I remember you from high school." And we just reconnected there, and just like that, he even was telling me that, you know, he has a son as well who's young. And we just started talking, and we're like, you know what, let's take our sons to a Wiggle show, you know, sometime this year. And we're like, sure, let's do that. You know, any of us can just think of that as like nothing. I believe that it was a divine reconnection for a purpose. I believe we will see him here eventually, you know. And why? All because, you know, we have to just be open to divine reconnections, divine appointments. Amen. Man, it can't be as simple as that. You know, it's as simple as that, sorry. Yeah, to just be open to divine connection. So tonight, let's pray for that. Let's pray that the Lord connects us today. This year, I want to meet the people that will activate me, that will, you know, release my destiny, that they will just take me to a new level in my spiritual life. I want to have an open heart and an open mind for that.